The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At the time the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The words that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, how many different voices are vying for your attention? Oh, listen to me, listen to me. How many ways are you and I bombarded by the noise? I mean, anybody just want to get off the grid, but they can't. I mean, you can give it up any time you want, right? But you can't. I mean, it's not just, you know, our smartphones that are messing with us, calling out to us in all kinds of different ways. But just across your life and my life, there are plenty of voices telling us what they expect, what they wish, what they demand. Follow me, do this, do that. I mean, we're being bombarded by all kinds of voices. I mean, how do we wade through it all? Who's telling us the truth? It's not easy to understand. Not that we always have to agree. I mean, even in my own home, it's fun to see how this emancipation process with my kids, you know, we don't always see the same things the same ways, and that's okay, but we're learning how to love and work through things. But there are a lot of voices that I are dealing with that aren't quite so kind. And I can't help but wonder if there isn't some malice behind some of the voices we're hearing. Now, good heavens, you know, we can spend a lot of time thinking about this and we'll all be just really depressed. But I don't want to belabor the point, but you know, there is something that's been placed on my heart and mind that I got to share with you. And it has to do with what's happening with now it's the LGBTQIA plus. This an acronym I think is only going to grow. And there's a lot of different voices going on. We're not just talking about binary anymore. You're a man or you're a woman. We're talking about between 15 and 29 sexualities. We're talking between 63 and 114 genders. All I can say is this is the way you isolate the precious sheep so that no one dares talk about anything. I mean, I hate to draw on Sigmund Freud. Who gets theology from him? But he says that within a person there is both male and female, but for the sake of psychological health, you have to look at the biological to understand identity. When's he going to be called a hater? I mean, it's sad what's happening. I take no pleasure in any of this. All I know is when the sheep get isolated, they're easy prey. What? Now I can't even shake hands because it might be sexual innuendo, some kind of transgression. I mean, what's happening? All I know is all you have to do is isolate the sheep and the predators will consume them. Not chew them and digest them like the sheep in Wyoming where I was raised. But how many people across the generations in our nation are being consumed with loneliness and fear and guilt and shame and just frustration? And yet there's a voice that calls out How does it go? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hands. Now, that's a voice that's different. And among all the voices that you and I have to deal with every day, day in and day out, there is the voice of our Savior Jesus, who called upon us in love, who promises to give us the truth, to guide us through the details across the spectrum of your life and my life, your daily activities and mine. All we have to do is call out and say, Lord, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with that? You know, I want to follow you. Keep in mind, all those voices that are calling out to you and me across the media and the medium of the way we get information, they want us to follow and like them, right? But there's only one worthy of our following, and that's the one who died for us because he couldn't live without us. He's the one who has promised to lead us and to take care of us. I give them eternal life. And I live now and will live forever. And will live in bodies that no longer have aches and pains in them. We'll be in glorified bodies, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever that means. It was even hard for the disciples to see Jesus in his resurrected state. He had to show them and remind them and speak to them. And you and I, because of what Jesus did, laying down his life for us, will live forever. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And it's fascinating to see how Jesus say in John chapter 10, I am the Good Shepherd. It's as if he's taking all the promises that God gave to the Old Testament church and saying, now I'm it. In the Old Testament, if you weren't shepherds of literal sheep, you were a shepherd. King of God's people, or you were a shepherd, a prophet, or a priest. And in the Old Testament history, we see time and again how the kings mislead the sheep of God's flock. We see time and again how the prophets shrink back and they don't do what they need to do for the sake of the sheep, and the sheep suffer. And yet God kept promising a shepherd would come, Ezekiel 34. Even God would establish a shepherd, Jeremiah, and John chapter 10. Jesus comes along and says, I am the good shepherd, the good pastor. Good news. And he laid down his life for his sheep. It's fascinating. So to call himself a shepherd, Jesus is using a turn of a phrase. In the Greek, it's a trope. It's a metaphor. And yet there's profound truth to it. I find it quite ironic that the Lord would call us sheep. Have you been around sheep? They are really something. They'll nibble themselves into all kinds of problems. Online, in person. They'll eat all the stuff that they're fed. They're a mess. They push each other around. They get pretty dirty. I mean, I think it's kind of ironic, and yet, who has in this picture of shepherd sheep promised to take care of us? Who can clean us up and bless us like no one else? Jesus, our good shepherd. So it's more than just a fun little thought. There is truth in this sheep and shepherd thing that's near and dear to God. And in it, God wants us to take comfort in the good news that we have a good shepherd whose voice is different than all the other voices we hear, and who speaks to us across the spectrum of our lives so that we can trust in his care, and that we can talk with him and trust that he'll lead us safely wherever we go. How does David say it in the 23rd Psalm? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I will fear not evil. Do you know how long we walk in that valley? Even in Plano, all our days. And yet we have a constant companion so that we don't need to be afraid, but stay close to the one who laid down his life so that we would live forever. I give them eternal life. What a gift. It's yours in him. And they shall never perish. Boy, some days I feel like I'm being consumed alive. How about you? Amen? And that's when we say, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I know you'll get me through this, and I'll be better for it. Even though right now I don't see it, I'm going to listen for your voice through it. Because I feel like all the other voices are trying to do me in. And his voice is different. I forgive you, Stace. I love you, Stace. Stay close to me. Even if I have to whack you a little bit with my shepherd staff and discipline you back in line, Stace. He disciplines the ones that he loves. It doesn't always seem so good, and yet it is for you and for me. Can you say, bah? You don't have to. You don't have to, yeah. We're his sheep. And he's our shepherd. And he is risen and reigning from the grave, eternally living to care for us like he knows how, and only he knows how. And what a gift it is to know that truth in our life today. But not only is he our good shepherd, taking care of us, watching over us, leading us and guiding us, but he is working in us and through us. Certainly, our Savior shows up in word and sacrament, feeding us and blessing us and guiding us, doing things in amazing ways. And oftentimes, we're not the wiser for it. He just does his work like a good shepherd does. But there are times in your life, in my life, where we can look back and we say, Lord, that was you and no one else. But there are times when we can look back in our life and we can say, you know, and you don't think about it this way, sheep so-and-so. You know, we don't even think of each other as sheep. But you see, the good shepherd is caring for us, watching over us, and he also speaks through us. He speaks through you. You know, we're learning how he talks. And we talk like he talks to us. And he speaks through us. And so we're learning how to speak the language of the flock. Caring for each other, praying for each other, speaking the truth to one another. Not shrinking back, but sharing the counsel of God. Because that's part of his will too. I oftentimes think to myself, Lord, gosh, you're using me, a feeble pastor, to share your truth. You could do it a lot better without me. That's my design, not his design. His design is to work in us and through us. His design is to work in and through you, to shepherd the lives that you're a part of. He's at work in and through each of us so that we can shepherd, care for the people that only we can reach and no one else. And as much as we seek to care for each other, as much as we try, we see how we fall short. And yet we do so underneath the perfect care of our good shepherd, Jesus. There was a lady in the first congregation I served. It's amazing how first congregations, the people there, the sheep there, give you such profound thoughts. But had a dear lady, she had more surgeries. When she was a little girl, she had polio, so she had rods in her legs. You know, back in the old days when that had to be done. And She was having surgeries all the time, ever since then. And so I don't even know how many surgeries she had, but I never worried about Verlet. They would say, and sometimes I would be there with the doctors, I'm in good hands. And they would say, well, thank you. And she'd say, not what I mean. I'm in good hands. She would go in the good hands of Jesus holding her. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hands. The implication there is that all these voices in your life and my life are pulling on us. They're tugging at us for all kinds of reasons so that we can like and follow, not social media way, but, you know, still like and follow. Isn't it amazing how social media has made us understand that? Maybe, a little bit anyway. But all these voices are tugging at us, and yet Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of my hands. Do you feel like you're in a tug of war from time to time? Amen? And yet the promise is this, no one can snatch you out of my hands. You're in good hands. Just like Verlaine was years ago, who's been with the Lord for decades now. You're in good hands. You're in the grip of the Good Shepherd. In the name of Jesus, amen.